resisting temptation. Excuse me. And we've talked about a lot of stuff on this. We've talked about sinful things, you know, things that are sinful to us and temptations and things like that. I mean, we know we're supposed to resist adultery, you know, and fornication and all kinds of things like that. We looked at some scripture where he talked about lying and different things like that, about how to give the devil no place. And we got to Ephesians 6, verse 11 over there, where he says that we are to stand against the wiles of the devil. We was on that for, I don't know, a few weeks, and then now we've mentioned it five times in this one. The word wiles, when you look that up, it means traps, tricks, snares, traps, lies, deceptions, deceit. Everything that he represents is in that. And we started talking last week about healing, and we started getting into some scriptures about healing and about poverty and lack and abundance. And if we get to, well, let's let him put up some scriptures for us right quick. Let me get the last one. Since these are some that are just be like one verse or whatever, for time's sake, I don't have time to read a whole page or whatever sometimes. Let's see. Let's let Zach put up 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 through 9. I know we looked at that last week, but we're going to look at it again. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And that's usually always later than what we want it to be. Right? He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This, for Christians, is a big one. We don't care nothing about, not interested, no, we shouldn't commit adultery, fornication, you know, go to the bars, all that kind of stuff. But that people will worry all night long and call it praying. When we pray, when we talk to God about certain things, how many know we're supposed to speak to him his word? He said, bring him in remembrance of his word. Not tell him how bad your trouble is, but tell your trouble how big that your God is, right?
Yeah.
He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Go ahead. Whom resist how?
Steadfast
in the faith. So if you're going to resist the devil and stand against the wiles of the devil, you're going to have to do it in faith, the faith of God. How do we get faith? Well, the Bible says if you've been born again, every man has been given the measure of faith. So when we get born again, we've all got it. Now you got to build them. Now you got to work it out to exercise it. Kind of like that little baby that was here a while ago, you know. At one time, Shannon was as little as that little baby probably. He's not that little anymore, are you, Shannon? That little baby's got all the muscles that Shannon has, you know, that me and you have. But how many know they're small and they're not developed yet? So just like exercising in the natural, we have to, by faith, walk and exercise the word of God. And as we do, you get stronger.
Amen.
You develop. But he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. If you don't resist him in the faith, he'll whoop you every time.
Right.
Because his thing is, he takes us over into the sense realm, what we see, what we hear, what we feel. And he feeds us all these lies. He says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. One of his lies that he likes to tell is you're the only one. I think it was just a few weeks ago now that, you know, Danny's not here, and then Mac is not here, and then Matthew wasn't here, which he was here last Sunday after a few weeks or whatever. Well, y'all heard Sandy's testimony. You know, she got up there and talking about how the devil had been lying to her about telling her, you know, don't quit teaching them kids, them teenagers. They don't listen to you anyway, you know. Go to another church, blah, 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 whatever he was telling her. Well, the very same week, and I'm the pastor's wife and the Sunday school teacher, you know, he doesn't discriminate at all, you know, just because of who you are or the position that you hold. He was telling me all week long, just quit going to that church. Go to another church where they don't know who you are. Big church, you know, where you just slip in the back door, sit there, enjoy the service, you know. Because how many know it's responsibility to get up here every Sunday morning? And y'all looking at me like, okay, sister, bring it. And I'm like, looking at y'all like, well, I don't have it. Where is it? God ain't sent it yet. Sometimes, you know, sometimes he don't give it to me till I get up here and I start talking. And y'all are always looking at me like, well, okay, move me if you can. You know, didn't you study this week? Well, didn't you?
That's right.
What's the Bible say? He don't say study Sunday school teacher. He says study Christian. to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? Well, it's not just for me to do, it's for all of us to do. At any time, God ought to be able to call any one of us and say, I want you to do this. But a lot of times, especially, you know, some people, you call on them and they're like, I have had to do it before. And they're like, well, I can't. I need to pray and fast next week. Are you serious? What happened last week? What was you doing? Watching TV and eating donuts? Well, how many knows that's not ever a good thing? We should always, and I know we're sometimes maybe closer to God than what we are at other times. You know, you're slack, you're busy, different things like that. I'm not talking about that. I think a lot of the body of Christ we have going on, you know, like kind of like this complacency and everything is put off on leadership. And it should not be. It's not that way in the Bible. The Bible says we are to make disciples, right? Well, the word disciple also carries the word with it, discipline. Oh, my goodness. Let's move on here. Where did we get to? Let me get my notes here. Put it 1 John 5:4. It says, for whatsoever, you could say whosoever, is born of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What? Even our faith. So we've seen in the verse before that we are to resist the devil steadfast in the faith. We see in this one what our victory is that overcometh the world. It's our faith. How do we get faith? Well, I told you the Bible says when we're born again, every man has been given the measure of faith. Then also the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, how many knows just I can have faith in one area and be totally without faith in another area.
Right.
Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If I need faith for something, for say I need faith for finances, I don't need the word on healing.
Right.
I need to be hearing the word about finances, even though the word of healing is good. Why? Because if I need faith in that arena, I'm going to have the word in that area. Why? Because that's the way faith comes. Now, let's see here. Let's look at Isaiah 53. You got your Bible, let's look at it in the Bible. Because I'm going to read some of it from the Amplified too. We read this verse last week. But how many knows the Bible says that we're to keep the word before our eyes?
Yes.
Not just you meditate now all the time. How many know sometimes you can, over a period of time, you can forget exactly word for word what the verse says. And the devil's always trying to slip things in there on us, right? But it's hard to do when you're reading it out straight off the page. Now, this is talking about Jesus, and we're going to start in verse 3 just for time's sake. It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now listen to it in the Amplified. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains and acquainted with grief and sickness. And like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Surely he has borne our griefs, that word translates sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Put up 1 Peter 2:24, Zach, please. Now, this is New Testament. That was Old Testament. This is New Testament. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That wasn't very good in English class, but I know that were is a past tense word. It means it's already done. Now, we believe this when it comes to sin, right? Jesus, we know Jesus is not getting back on the cross and dying for anybody's sins right now, right? The Bible says he offered up that sacrifice at one time, never to be offered up again as far as him getting back on the cross. But how many knows just as much as he paid the price for our sins, he paid the price for our healing?
Right.
We just read the verses. Amen. He paid the price for sickness and disease. Now, we talked a little bit about last week how that some churches, they teach sickness and disease, God teaches you. That is not a verse you'll find in the Old or New Testament. Y'all ain't saying nothing. God, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He uses the Word of God to teach us. He's given the fivefold ministry to teach us right over there in Ephesians. The pastor, the prophets, the evangelists, right? All of those. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. It's not sickness and disease. Sickness and disease came in when mankind sinned. But the Bible talked about how the one man sinned, you know, sin entered into the world, but by one man's sacrifice, righteousness has reigned, so has healing. Sickness and disease is under the curse. It's of the devil. God doesn't have none of it. He's not putting sickness and disease on anybody. Why do I keep saying this? Because it has to become very, very clear to us. Because while you're having problems, while the devil's attacking you, while sickness and disease is attacking you, he's going to lie. You better believe it. And he wants to get us over into that realm of what we see, what we feel, what we think, the thoughts he can interject in us and get us to meditate on, and then have it start coming out of our mouth. Why? So he can manifest the stuff. So we need to stand against, that is the wiles of the devil. Sickness and disease is of the wiles of the devil. And we are not the sick trying to get healed. We are the healed of God, right? The day I got born again, everything in me was healed. Now, I talked a little bit last week how Sandy's my aunt. May that goes here is my grandmother. Doris is my mother. Sandy is my aunt. But for some reason or another, me and Sandy have a lot of physical problems in common that me and my mama don't. I have vertigo. She had vertigo. I mean, to the point where I go to the doctor, you know, supposed to be the specialist, the ENT, and he says, I can't help you. And I'm like, are you serious? You know, and I mean, this goes on for over a year that I have to deal with this stuff. 3 months sitting straight up in a recliner, because that's what they tell you to do. Sandy had vertigo. Every now and then, I still have to deal with it from time to time, but pretty much, you know, that's gone. Well, then I have this foot problem, you know, called plantar fasciitis. Guess who else had plantar fasciitis to the point to where now, yours hurts clean up to your hips, right? My mama ain't got none of that. My mama don't even know what plantar fasciitis is. Why that is, I don't know. But we talked a little bit about it last week. When you go to the doctor, one of the first things they want you to do is fill out a questionnaire about your family history. They want to go back to your great-great grandfather and grandmother. Why? Because they want to track that genetic genes. It's called DNA. So if they suggest if your grandmother's had it or your mother's had it, you know, if your grandmother had diabetes, you know, you're going to have diabetes and this, that, arthritis, the whole nine yards. But how many knows, according to Scripture, I'm redeemed from that life. I have to keep that in my mind because the devil likes to tell me that just runs in your family. You know, for as long as I can remember, my grandmother has had arthritis and just, you know, constant pain. Almost all the time. Well, then any time that I have an ache or a pain that sounds like that, the first thing I hear, well, you're getting older, you know, you're granny. Y'all ain't saying nothing.
That's right.
I have to resist that. You have, because the temptation is to just yield. It's easier to just yield for the time being right now. They're not putting up no fight. You know, and the world tells us doctors, and I'm not against doctors. They can only do their natural stuff, you know, what they do. Thank God for them. A lot of us would have died before without them. You know, so I'm not against doctors or anything. But I had the temptation is to fear. The temptation is to say, that just runs in my family, you know. Well, it's not supposed to if I've been born again.
Right?
I mean, you know, when you read the curse of the law and all this stuff, just like the plantar fasciitis, I mean, a lot of that is due to inflammation. Inflammation is under the curse.
Right.
So that tells me I am redeemed from inflammation. So what do I have to do? I have to stand against that. But there's always going to be a temptation there to yield to it.
Yep.
There's nothing I can do about it. Especially if it stays a while. I'm on my fourth week. I'm better. Then I messed up and went to Walmart and got supplies for the church and had to get back on the couch. I'm standing in line praying, God help me please to stand here because it's so painful I can't hardly stand here no longer. You ain't saying nothing. So the temptation is to give in to that, to not fight that. But I am redeemed from all of that. I am healed, but the devil's trying to put sickness and disease on me and get me to eat it. So I cannot, if I want what Jesus has paid for me to have. And listen, and that's the thing that he does. Sometimes he tries to get us into this thing to where we begin begging God. Well, God, I don't understand, you know, why you hadn't healed me, you know. I go to church, I serve the Lord, I tithe, I give, you know, I do my best to this, that, and that. I mean, it's not based on any of that. Because if you're trying to get your healing based on that, you'll never get it. Why? You can never tithe enough. You can never be good enough. That's why you couldn't save yourself. And healing was purchased at the same time. And it's not by anything that I do other than my faith in God. Listen to me. God has already healed everybody on the planet that will receive it.
That's right. Amen.
He's not going back to the cross. God, the Bible says, he's set down. Right? And Jesus is set down at the right hand of the Father. He's not working right now. Why? He's already did all of his work. Jesus himself, after the cross, you know, he said, it is finished. Everything has already been done. Every need that I could possibly have, whether it's healing, it's financial, it's material, this, it don't matter. It's already been met, but it's not in this realm yet. Some of it. So why do I have to have faith? I have to have faith. If I can really have faith for something, that means it's already there. My faith doesn't create anything.
No.
See, I've heard people before and they're messed up. So you take a married man and this woman comes along and she says, God told me he's going to be my husband. God ain't told you no such a thing.
No.
How do I know that? Because of what the Word says. God's not into adultery and he doesn't like divorce, he says.
Right.
He's already a married man. Well, I'm going to get him with my faith. No, you ain't, because he's already married to somebody else. He's right. Not your husband.
Right.
That's right. Man.
Well, my faith, I believe this, so it's got to happen. No, it doesn't.
Nope.
My faith can only get what's already been done.
Right.
My faith cannot create anything. You understand what I'm telling you? If I can believe for it, that means it's already there. And I have to have faith to take what's in that realm and appropriate it to my life, whether it's healing, whether it's finances. But what the devil likes to do is get us to begging God, God, why don't you heal me? God, why don't you? Well, you can't say that because you can't get God to do something he's already done.
Right?
Right? I mean, do you understand what I'm trying to say there? He's already done it, but by faith, I have to lay hold of it and bring it from that realm into this realm to the point to where it's manifested in my body.
Right.
Now, I was talking to Scotty last night. Now, just like the vertigo and stuff, we're all, you know, should be resisting, growing, developing, resisting sickness and disease, poverty, lack, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever it is that is of the devil. We always want to be standing against it, resisting it and all of that. But then there's times, like I was telling Scotty, this is my fourth week. Well, my fourth week that I ruptured this side of my right foot with that jump. But I have been dealing with that stuff for months. That's how come I ruptured the right foot or what it. I've been dealing with get off of the couch, you know, I can't hardly get to the kitchen or whatever because it hurts so bad. Well, I was telling him last night, this has been too long. Y'all ain't saying that. You know, and you might say, well, how can you sit up there and talk about healing, you know, whenever you got a problem? When you have a problem, that better be the time you're talking about it. Because anybody can talk about it. And ain't it just like God? Say you got a financial problem. Your next message will be about finances that you got to do. Why? It takes faith to do it. See, my problem doesn't change the Word.
Nope.
The Word better be changing my problem.
Because right.
Anybody can talk it, preach it, teach it when you're okay. Right. Anybody can talk it, walk it, preach it whenever all the bills are paid.
Right.
It's when they're not paid.
Right.
It's when you're having problems of sickness and disease in your body, things
right.
attacking you and things like that.
Right.
Now, I was telling him last night, just like the vertigo. Dealing with that, you know, laying on the bed, watching TV one day, you know. And I had been resistant to a point. You know, because if you're not careful, your mind, oh, mind will deceive you.
Yep.
Scotty come in and he says, you know, well, you got to fight. And I said, I am fighting. Well, it was, but it wasn't. How many days you can? Or you can just rear back, and I mean just bust the devil. Right? Well, that's kind of what I was doing. You know, like that. And I got to thinking about it, you know, it made me mad a little bit. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, okay, I know what to do. I know what to do, but I'm not doing. So Kenneth Copeland calls it total immersion in the Word. It's where I got in my Bible, and I got my notebook, I got my Strong's Concordance out, and I started writing down on a piece of paper all the scriptures about healing. Old Testament scriptures, New Testament scriptures, all my healing scriptures. I had like two or three pages of them, you know, wrote down. Okay, then I get my computer out. Day and night, I've got Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dahl, all these different ministers that I listen to 24 hours a day going with the Word of God about healing. Why? Because even when I'm asleep, my spirit is like God. It never sleeps and it never slumbers. Jesus told the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. The Word of God is spirit food to my spirit man. Well, I would get up every morning, I'd go out on my back porch, and I'd take my healing scriptures, and I would go over them. I'd pray in tongues while I'm out there, you know, and I would say my healing scriptures out loud so I could hear. Got my paper where I could read them. Then I'm in the house, and I've got 24 hours a day of preaching about healing going on. Why? Because I ain't got time to be watching TV eating donuts. Not that anything is wrong with watching TV or eating a donut. But how many knows there comes a time that if what you're doing ain't working, it's not God's fault, I need to do something else. So I told him last night, I said, this has been here way too long. So I'm sitting there, I'm watching Cops. I really like to watch Cops, you know. Cutting stuff, you know. Don't ruin, boy, that really makes them mad. If they have to sweat hard, you're going to really get cut and stuff. Anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm watching Cops. Nothing wrong with Cops, you know. And I have this on the inside. That's a muscle rep. No, but there's another episode going on. I mean, it's like back to back. You do your TV guide. It says, Cops Reloaded, Cops Reloaded, Cops Reloaded. 6 hours of Cops Reloaded there, you know. And I'm like, well, another episode is coming on. I sat there a little longer. And on the inside, it's like, that's enough of that. So I was sitting there and I get the TV box. And I turn it onto some preaching over there that Kenneth Copeland's having that Columbia victory campaign thing or whatever it is. Anyways, over there preaching and everything. And I'm telling you, my flesh, I can hear it like go, yuck. I don't want to hear that. That tells me I get a problem.
Yeah.
Did y'all catch that?
Yeah.
That just told me I have a problem. Because my spirit will never reject the Word if it's truth.
Right.
He always wants that. Why? It's his food. Right. It's like donuts to him, boy.
Yeah.
You know, or brownies, whatever it is that you like. It's spiritual food, and it's good to him. So when I felt like, ugh, I just don't want to hear this, I'm like, oh, yeah, I see, you got a problem already. Guess who's a little stronger?
Larry.
Them Cops, boy. So for just about the rest of the night, I leave it on the preaching. So I told Scotty, I'm going to have to do something different. So this means I'm going to have total immersion, fasting and praying and total immersion in the Word. Why? Because I need the Word of God. I need me so full of the Word of God till it pushes out sickness and disease out of me. Till it pushes out thinking of poverty and lack. Y'all come on now. That's the only thing that's going to do it. See, I can sit here and say, yep, I believe, by his stripes I'm healed. Glory to God. Don't say nothing. And I didn't say if you're being attacked with something, you don't have faith. But how many knows that we stand until it comes, but how many knows if I resist the devil, he's supposed to go. And if I resist everything of the devil, it's supposed to go with him. Well, I'm resisting, Sandy, but it ain't going. So that means I'm going to have a, what I call a total immersion in the Word of God. Just like I did with the vertigo jump that I don't have to deal with anymore. I mean, that was so bad, I couldn't get off the couch at different times. Running into, falling into the wall, you know, I couldn't drive, I couldn't mow the yard. And then there come a day after I stayed on the Word for a while with that total immersion that it was just like something went ping. Scotty said something about picking something up for me, and I said, nope. I said, you old people drive. Now, I'm still feeling the symptoms, but something's going on in here. Something's happening with that word. Healing people drive. So I said, well, glory to God, if healing people drive, here we go. Buckle up and hang on is all I can tell you. Well, the Bible says faith not being mixed with the word of God profited them. How much?
Nothing.
Nothing. Now, I'm not telling you quit taking your medicine or anything like that, unless you feel to. Now, I'm not talking about your physical feelings. I'm talking about on the inside. Because that word on the inside, when it's planted and watered, and it'll grow and develop to where it begins. The Bible talks about how faith will start out as a grain of mustard seed. It'll grow and develop into what? So it's big enough, all the birds of the air, they come and they make nest in that tree.
Right.
But it started as a little grain of mustard seed. But he says, if you had faith, you would say. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's not just about saying and saying and saying. If you say it 101 times, it's going to manifest.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
It's about that word. You put it in you and in you and in you and in you. How many knows that maybe your gas tank's not full with $15? So what do? Keep pumping. Maybe it's not full with $20. What do? Keep pumping if you want a full tank. Maybe it's not full with $25. What do? You keep on pumping. Well, you'll know when it gets full, Shannon. How you know? It starts coming out the mouth. In abundance. And you can't make it stop unless you quit pumping. It's the same way with us. The Bible talks about guard our heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. I take the word of God, I plant it in my heart, I use the word, I water it, and it begins to do something on the inside of us to where it begins to come out of our mouth. And then as it comes out of our mouth, it's talking about like Mark 11, that I believe whenever I pray that I receive it.
Amen.
And it's not, I'm trying to muster up faith to have it. Just like that time, most of y'all have heard the story that we was going through a great financial trial. I think this is like 2008, 2009. Somewhere in there to where we're about to lose everything. Accelerated foreclosure on our house. You know, we owe them just about everything that we have. And, you know, it's not good. I mean, Travis, he's 16. Well, I mean, y'all know what teenagers eat and their thing. Well, we're down to, we don't have any more meals. All we have is like a half a jar of peanut butter in the cabinet and a can of cream of mushroom soup.
Right.
And God won't let us tell nobody nothing.
Right.
Why? Because he'll let you tell sometimes when you're a baby. But there comes a time, he says, no, either you trust me or you don't.
Right.
You know? So we had to rely on him. Well, during this time, I learned some of what I'm telling y'all this morning about in talking about healing. I mean, the word works the same way. It don't matter what it is. Faith works the same way. Just if it's a different thing, you've got to have a different word on it for faith to come. Well, during this time, I mean, I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm reading the word. I'm studying the word. I got the word coming out my mouth, you know, and all this stuff. And I remember one day I'm sitting in the back room, and I've got this CD on, and I can't remember the name of the song right now, right off the bat. But anyways, it talks about how that God supplies and all this stuff. And I've got tears running down my face. And I'm in faith, but it is like all I can do, Sandy, to hang on to it, feels like. Well, a little more time passed, and me and Scotty were sitting on the steps of in our carport there one night. And we're talking about the Lord, you know, and the Spirit's just flowing. Y'all know when that starts happening, right? There's other times you better not say nothing. Well, this is one of those times we're talking about the Lord and the Spirit's just flowing. And I mean, all of a sudden, both of us at the same time, the Spirit of God welled up in both of us, and we looked at each other, and we just started laughing. And laughing and laughing. And we looked at each other and I said, I don't even want out of this. Nothing had changed in the natural. But we both had got so full and stayed in faith until now it has manifested. Had nothing changed in the natural, but something has changed in us. To the point to where we don't even want out of this trial. It's not even a test anymore. Faith has now come to its fullness. And we know that we know that we know. And it's there.
Amen.
And it's the same way in every area of life because faith operates the same way. All right, let's see here. The Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 8, it says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus. Well, let's look up. Read that over there. Put that up for us, please, Zach, because we're only going to look at that one verse just for time's sake. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. who went about doing good and healing how many?
All.
You look up this word all, and you know what it means?
All.
All. A-L-L. Not a one of them left sick. It says, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. How come it didn't say, and healing all that were oppressed of God? No. Sickness and disease is not of God. Jesus took stripes upon his back to pay the price for that because it was the will of God for every person to be healed. Y'all remember the story of the Old Testament of the children of Israel? Once they got all the gold and the silver, they're coming out of the promise, coming out of Egypt, going into the promised land. The Bible says there was not one sick or feeble among them. I mean, you're looking at millions of people. And they ain't even a one of them sick. There's something supernaturally going on. And it is the will of God. How many knows that Old Testament things are types and shadows of New Testament things that was to come? How many knows God wants every one of his people healed? Sickness and disease is a thief. Put up John 10. 10, please, Zach. It says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Sickness and disease, it steals. It robs you of your health. It'll rob you of your peace. How many knows that when you're in pain day and night, it's hard to have total peace? Yeah. It says, and it destroys. He says, this is Jesus talking, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That word there, the latter part of that verse there, when you read it in the Amplified, it says, to the full, to the overflow. That means nothing missing, nothing broken, wholeness. I'm totally whole in my mind. I'm totally whole in my spirit. I'm totally whole in my physical body. Every need that I have is absolutely met. How many knows that for God's people, I mean, we claim 120 years. I don't want to live 120 years if I'm sick all the time, if I'm broke all the time. What's the point in that? That would not be the life that Jesus came and died for me. And listen, that word life, I looked it up, he's not just talking about necessarily living. He's talking about giving you the source of life. God kind of life. In that verse there. So we're over there now. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8. Look right over there. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. It says, when he was come down from the mountain talking about Jesus, great multitudes followed him. How many knows Jesus came to do the will of God? And he said, I don't do anything unless I say my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it, right? So the Bible says he was God wrapped in flesh. 100% God, 100% flesh man like me and you, right? So we know that everything he said and done was the will of God. It says, verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, we wouldn't say it that way. We might say, Lord, if you're willing, you know, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So this guy, he knows that he can, but he don't know if he's willing or not, right? That's where some of God's people is. That's why we have to take the word, and we have to get totally convinced that it is God's will for me to be healed. Totally whole.
Amen.
And it says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, and God has never said I won't. Jesus said, I am the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. God said, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not.
Amen.
He goes on and he says, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou, tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, he's just telling him this because he's got work to do, and it's hard to do with big crowds following him so much. Verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, or begging him, we would say, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, he didn't even ask him to come or nothing yet. He's just telling him about a servant that's grievously tormented and sick, right? He just volunteers it, didn't even ask him yet. He says, I will come and heal him. That is the will of the Father. He's demonstrating God's will. Verse 8 says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You're talking about faith. A lot of us would say, Lord, touch me. Touch me, God, touch me. He says, you ain't got to come, you ain't got to touch him. Just say the word, that's all you got to do. He goes on, verse 9, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth this." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. As his and his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." Now notice that. What made the man healed? The centurion's faith in Jesus.
Right.
And Jesus said the word. And how many knows, when Jesus says the word, the devil has to go.
Right.
And he says, "You go in my name and you cast out devils." Smith Wigglesworth, he never looked at sickness and disease other than a devil. Mm-mm. I mean, you've got things where they said that this one time, I mean, somebody's got a big growth thing on their stomach or whatever. He just walks up, hauls off, and just punches them right in the devil. And I was reading his book, and he said, "I wasn't seeing the man." He said, "I wasn't punching the man." He said, "I was punching the demon." Why? Because that's how he saw it, because that's the way it really is. It's not of God, and it's not, God did ever intended for us to have it. Now you go on here, verse 14. "And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils." Notice this part. "And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick." Demons and sickness go together. It says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." So this is the third time we have read verses that said that he took up, bore our sicknesses and our diseases. Two in the New Testament already and one in the Old Testament, right? But notice that verse up there, verse 16. "When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick." This is the second time. Yes, ma'am.
Which one was it in the Old Testament?
Isaiah 53.
Isaiah.
Verses 3 through 5 is the ones we read. But notice that he says, "And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick." This is the second time. Remember Acts 10:38? "And he healed all that were sick and oppressed of the devil." Right here again, he healed them all. Jesus healed everybody that came to him wanting healing that would believe. But now y'all remember the story over there where he's over there and he's teaching and preaching and everything. But it says he cannot do no mighty works except lay his hand on a few sick folk. What is the reason? Why does he say that? The next verse tells us, because of their unbelief, right? The Bible talks about how that they limited the Holy One of Israel in the Old Testament. We can be limiting what God can do for us today and be begging God to get it to us right now. How do we do that? By our unbelief. And I'm sure if I asked every one of us in here this morning, "Do you got faith?" "Oh, yeah, I got faith. Yeah, I got faith. Move mountains." We know what the scripture says. And we do. But how many know sometimes we also got unbelief that is stopping us? That's how come I said, I told Scotty I'm going to have a total immersion. That means some fasting and praying going on. Why? Why do I say that? Because that moves God? No, that changes me. You don't change God. He's the Lord our God, and he does not change. Now, over there in, what is that? I think it may be Luke 9:63 or something other, where he talks about, he says, "All things are possible to those who believe." That story over there, y'all remember that guy brought his son. He was an epileptic. He brought his son to the disciples. They couldn't cast the devil out of him. So he brought him to Jesus, you know, and said, "If you can do anything, you know, help us, Lord. Have mercy on us, Lord." You know, and Jesus tells him, I'm paraphrasing, "If I can do anything," it's not whether I can do anything or not. He says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to who? Those who believe." It's not just I believe in God. Demons believe in God and tremble, the Bible says. I need to be believing that it is his will for me to be healed, and he has already healed me. I need to reach out and grab it. I'm reminded about a story that Keith Moore tells He did a healing school for Kenneth Copeland for, I think, like 17, 20 years, you know. You can learn a lot during that time. I mean, he had people coming there to the point to where they're going, whoa. I mean, they're like at death's door. The doctors have given up, stomach cancer, all kinds of things. But I'm reminded of this woman. She had a paralyzed, one of her hands, arms was paralyzed. And he's preaching, teaching, you know, down the lines of healing and everything. Why does he do that? Because there was people that come there and they're like, you know, can you just lay hands on this and let us go? Because, you know, I got a lot to do and everything. No. You need to come and you need to sit and you need to hear the word. Why? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So while this lady's sitting in the service, you know, and she's hearing the word being preached and taught, and she had been there for, I think, a few days, coming in hearing the word for a few days already. Well, she stuck her one good hand up, you know, and he stopped, like we just did, and everything, said, yes, ma'am. She said, so you mean to tell me that all I got to do is believe I receive it and I have it? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, thank you. Well, he don't know what her problem is, you know. Some of them, they ain't told, so he don't know what's there. Well, lo and behold, at the end of the service, she comes up to him, and boy, she is excited. And he asked, well, what did the Lord do for you? No, why are you so excited? She said, look at this, He said, well, I see it, you know. Well, what? She said, this was paralyzed. I couldn't do this. All I did was believe I received it, and I have it. Look at this. That's how easy that it is.
Thank you.
That I believe that I receive it, and I have it. But the unbelief that I don't even know is there sometimes is going to stop me. So if Jesus told his disciples there, they come, you remember the story, and they asked him, how come we couldn't cast that devil out? Y'all remember the story, right? We don't got to go back and read it. He said, because of your unbelief. He said, howbeit this kind only cometh out by prayer and fasting. And I mean, some people have said, it's talking about this devil. No. It's not talking about that devil. There is no big hairy devil that you got to fast and pray for a whole week to cast it out. Jesus said, you go in my name, not prayer and fasting. He said, you go in my name and cast out the devil. But the reason why they couldn't cast him out is because of their unbelief. And how many knows that unbelief goes out by prayer and fasting? Because I'm denying this flesh and I'm yielding to the Spirit of God. I'm hearing the word. I'm talking to the Father. And as this is happening, faith is being built up that is pushing out all the unbelief in my life. Right? Let's see. I think we read all of that one I wanted to read there. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11. We got just a couple minutes left. I think we'll have time to get this one in. You might say, well, there's nothing wrong with me, so this message wasn't for me. Oh, honey. We read the scripture, I think, 2 weeks ago that says, beware when you stand, lest you fall. Oh, we. The word is always good. Mm-hmm. So what verses exactly I want to read, because not the whole thing here. Let's look at verse 23. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this do in remembrance of me. Talking about communion. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Why does he tell us to do this? In remembrance of what? Just that he paid the price for our sin? No. He said, do this. He said, then remember that my body was broken for you. Everything that you have was put on me so you could go free. Your trespasses, your sins, your sicknesses, your disease, I bore all of it. He said, and do this in remembrance of me. Why? I need to remind myself of what he done from time to time. I'm human. I forget the devil, different things. So we need to be having communion in remembrance of him, right? Now, this is New Testament. So we know that it's already been done. I've got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything?